This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Well, we got our wish. The first game of the semifinals was pretty good. Miami beat Ole Miss 31-27. We got that cover, Mike. We got that covered. But you were rooting for Ole Miss, but you picked Miami. Okay, so we got that. Miami good. The Washington stuff. Snip, snap. Your quarterback is back, Michael. I don't know how you feel about it. We'll get into that today. I saw a fascinating read from the lawyer that basically took over for Demond Williams. After his agent dropped him, this lawyer came in, picked him up, and then wrote about it on a LinkedIn article. It was very refreshing. But I still don't know what contract this was. Is this an NIL deal? And the fact that he's coming back might mean some cool things there. Congratulations to Steve Smiley. He got win number 100 last night in his career as the Bears bounced Idaho State. A lot of fouls. Ugly game. But the Bears won. Whatever. Big guest today, Chris Dempsey. Altitude TV going to join me. Also, Alex Taylor from YO News. We'll talk all that. Whole show starts now.
103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
So excited, Mike. We're trying something new, and I went a little long there. I was excited. I'm sorry. So sue me. I'm passionate about the whole show.
Yeah, we planned this like a couple weeks ago. You were like, hey, I want to do this 1 minute thing. And yeah. I was like, 1 minute? Okay. I'll make it a 1 minute 15 seconds in case he goes a little over. And you went a lot over.
I did go a lot over.
You were really excited.
Well, it was a great game last night. Steve Smiley got his 100th win in his Division I coaching career. I watched a lot of that. I watched a lot of the semifinal playoff game. It was a great game.
I listened to a lot of the high school game last night.
And I heard that was a fairly close game. So there you go.
It was a close game, yeah.
A lot of close games. It's good to have those. So you didn't get a chance to really see much of this Miami Ole Miss game. And again, let me just say this, Mike. It is cool. It is awesome what Ole Miss did. You know, with Golding, and I like his gray hair and gray beard. But no. In all fairness, like in all seriousness, like he was a good it was a great run for Ole Miss. When a lot of people buried them and said that they would struggle just to get out of maybe even the first round, whatever, against the G5 school, there was still a lot of question marks. In fact, that was the one I think people said. Because who did Ole Miss play first, Mike? Was it did they play? It wasn't James Madison. They played Tulane, right? And they smoked them. So there was a lot of people who said, well, if there is a G5 school that's going to win, it's going to be the one against Ole Miss because of the Lane Kiffin stuff.
And Ole Miss slapped him, like, backhanded.
Back slapped him. I like that. They back slapped
him. They slapped him on the back and said, hey, congratulations, and then backhanded them.
Back slapped him. We need to use that now. Back slapped him. Is that when you just beat him up? Oh, yeah. They got totally back slapped last night.
By the way, it's going to be another one of those days. I am very tired.
Breaking news. Breaking news. You're tired. Go to sleep. You're an adult, Mike. You're not a toddler. Go to bed. Stop putting Legos together until the wee hours of the morning.
Okay? Well, first of all, when I go to bed, my brain just won't shut off.
What are you thinking about?
It's just not shutting off.
What are you possibly thinking about?
I can't get it to like stop.
I'm sorry.
Moving.
I'm sorry. Try to maybe drink heavily before you go to bed, so you can pass out. I don't know. I'm not.
I think that's going to make it worse.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to throw out some options here. Big Hub says, I like this new thing. Just wish I didn't screw it up. That's your fault, though. It's on you. You're the producer.
On me.
Michael,
that's the. That's
I'm the actor of the show. I'm the talent. You're the producer. You're the guy that like has to make sure you get my best angles, and you know we end breaks appropriately, and I don't cut into like the actual imaging of the station. There, that's your fault. I'm putting that on you.
I gave you an extra 15 seconds.
You didn't even like give me a warning. You were just looking at me.
I was like, maybe Brady Hull's professional.
No, I didn't know how long we had. I forgot. Yeah, I emailed that back in 2025, Mike. Holidays happened.
That was
I don't
a
even
year
know what's
ago.
Going on. Yeah. So, I'm sorry you slept like crap, but maybe try to not do that. Try not to do that. But Ole Miss beat Tulane 41-10, Georgia 39-34, and that was a huge win. And then lost 31-27. It was a great game. But you have Miami driving quickly in this game, and they're not thinking field goal. They're not thinking overtime. They're thinking we're going to go in for a touchdown. It's funny, during that last play of the game, Carson Beck's in shotgun, and I'm thinking to myself, Mike, and I'm not a X's and O's, like, oh, use that play to get this set up. I'm not that guy. But it's funny, right before the play, I'm not kidding you. Please trust me on this. I'm not making it up. I said, I'll bet that left side of the field's going to be wide open. I just had a feeling, not based on any kind of thing I'm looking at, on the alignment or wherever the defensive players were positioned. I just had a feeling left side of the field was going to be open. Snap the ball. It's all designed to go to the right. I'm thinking, man, they missed it there. They missed it there because they have nothing to the left. Carson Beck keeps things alive and then just kind of shoots to his left, strolls into the end zone, and that proved to be the game-winning score. It's funny. After the score, after they get the extra point, an assistant coach runs up to Mario Cristobal and like hugs him from behind. It was a total Aaron Rodgers thing. Remember when Aaron Rodgers had the offensive lineman like tackle him and Rodgers is pissed? He's like, dude, what the hell? I'm 97 years old. I'm brittle. Coach runs behind Mario Cristobal from behind, hugs him. Cristobal like knocks him off his back. Like, what the hell, man? There's still a few seconds left in the game. And you can see why he was stressed out. Because in two plays, Ole Miss got beyond midfield and put themselves at least in a semi-reasonable Hail Mary. Was it pass interference on that last throw? Kind of looked like it could have been called. They don't typically call pass interference on Hail Mary-type plays unless it's really egregious. I did notice the broadcast crew said the refs are really inserting themselves in this game. And most of the calls I thought were legitimate. I went back, watched the replays. I thought a lot of the call. I didn't feel like the refs were inserting themselves. I didn't feel like it was that kind of game.
What I was able to see, and I wasn't watching a lot. I had the TV on, but it was mostly focusing on high school. What I was able to see was there was some shots to the head, and apparently I don't know what targeting is anymore.
No,
I thought targeting was the crown of the helmet.
Which one were you talking? Are you talking about any specific, or just kind
of? Well, there were two of them that were, like, one of them I didn't think it should be targeting at all. Like, it was, it's technically a personal foul. They touched heads, but it was, like, the side of the head.
Right.
It was the Miami guy who was kicked out. And I'm, like, I was upset about that because I didn't think that was anywhere near targeting.
I have a hard time with what's a catch and what's targeting. I don't know. What's a unnecessary roughness against the quarterback? I don't know. But
he wasn't even aiming for his head.
I know. I know the one you're talking about. That was weird.
That was really upsetting to me.
I got to tell you, too, the final drive for Ole Miss was, well, no, the second to final drive because they settled for a field goal in their last one. But Trinidad Chambliss is a good quarterback. He was making some really good throws, some really good plays with his feet. He had that one run. I think it was third and eight. Then it was call. Then they got a penalty on Miami, and then Trinidad's in trouble. Finds a lane, rolls, you know, just takes off down the field, and it was just everything you wanted in a game like that. And you know, for Carson Beck, you know, transferring from Georgia to Miami and kind of. A lot of the stories surrounding Carson Beck was that he didn't really love the game anymore. He was kind of I think even in the broadcast, they noted it a few times too, that he, you know, he gets frustrated and people get frustrated with him, and then it creates this like frustration tornado. Yeah, it's cool to see kind of those redemption stories. Dropped the S-bomb on his post-game, too. Thought that was good. Big Hub says, will he transfer? Can he? Is Trinidad Chambliss, is he a senior? I thought he was. Is he a senior? But I don't know. I don't know what they're eligible for anymore, if he can still go. This was a good game. You know, for Ole Miss, you know, with Kewon Lacy being hurt and banged up in that game, too, that obviously affected them. But just, you had playmakers stepping up, and it was one of these that I wanted to see. I wanted to see a great game. Yes, Michael.
He is a senior.
So he's done.
I don't know how many years of eligibility
he has left. Who knows,
right?
Who knows?
He's seeking an extra year of redshirt.
Oh, he is?
Okay. Yeah, so he's seeking an extra year for 2026.
Okay.
And if he is going to, I think he should stay with Ole Miss. I like it when, I understand if you're a backup quarterback, but I like it if you're a starting quarterback and you stick with your team. Maybe I'm just one of those, I like loyalty old people.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. Go Pokes texting in, too. I thought he was fighting for another year. Yeah, and who knows? He might get it. Yeah, Faith says he's petitioning with the NCAA for another year.
And they will say yes because he's a big athlete at a big school.
But it's something to do with because he came from D2. So is that what it is? And that's that rule we talked about, where you get another year of eligibility if you played a year of D2 or a lesser brand of football, then it doesn't count towards your D1 stuff. So, yeah, he's a good player. I like his story. I love the prayer thing he does with his mom right before. His mom's never missed a game. Not just college, Mike. She's been to every single football game that he's been in. That's a cool thing. So it was a fun game. Now we set our sights to this one tonight, Indiana and Oregon, and that's a fun story too. I mean, Mike, do you remember? I mean, you've been a big college fan for a long time. Do you remember when Indiana was good?
No, I don't.
I have they been good ever?
Like, they have been good. I think in the 90s they might have been okay, but I wasn't aware of that. I know that they have been good before, maybe in the 50s and 60s, but this is the shocking jump from mediocrity.
How?
To okay to good to, I don't want to say elite just yet, but they are going to win the national championship.
Is it as simple as just Kurt Cignetti? Is this that good? He's that good of a coach? I mean, I like
him.
Also
recruiting. Like, it takes a team of people to recruit.
And Kurt Cignetti, even, you know, he said it, like, Google me, I win. I win, Google me. That's like, that's a T-shirt, man. That's a T-shirt. But he does. Everywhere he's gone. He's a Nick Saban guy. He was on the Nick Saban coaching tree.
I hope he stays there.
And you hope he stays in Indiana?
Yeah, I like that. I like that story.
Well, why
where
not?
Where he stays, where, like, he's at a smaller school.
He's making good money.
He stays there.
He's making $11.6 million. I mean, who's going to get my? How much higher can you go?
Go to an SEC school where they will pay you a lot more.
I don't know. Who knows? I don't know how to predict guys anymore. His story's a lot cooler if he stays at, in Indiana. So he was like so his story's really cool too. He was with Nick Saban. And that's kind of, you know, where he really started to build things up. He was on the staff at North Carolina State. He was quarterback's coach. He worked with guys like Phillip Rivers and Russell Wilson. And then he became a part of Nick Saban's first, that was Nick's first year with Alabama. He was the wide receivers coach and recruiting coordinator. So he's had a really fascinating career. But yeah, everywhere he goes, he tends to win at Pennsylvania State. In the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference, IUP Crimson Hawks, he was 53-17. Then Elon Phoenix, he was 14-9. Then he went to James Madison. He was there kind of helping build them up for their move ultimately to D1, FCS, or FBS, excuse me, from FCS to FBS. He was he was 52-9 at James Madison. Went to a lot of bowl games. And then at Indiana, a staggering, Mike, 25-2. 25-2. I win. Google me. Yeah.
Put that on T-shirt as it is alongside of I drink and I know things.
He's got a little bit of that edge, and I like it. He's laser-focused on the sidelines, and I like it. What did I say yesterday, Mike? I'm a big fan of the characters of sports, and this is certainly one of those guys.
Is he the next Indianapolis Colts head coach? I mean, you have maybe a preparing character as owner?
They have their guy right now.
I know, but eventually that guy's going to get fired.
That doesn't mean anything. Will County Swami says, how? How what? Kurt Cignetti, great donors and the transfer portal. How what? He just signed a contract extension. It doesn't mean anything. Lane Kiffin, ever heard of that guy? He was under contract. Like, it's buyout stuff. Contract extensions don't mean anything. Haven't we learned that in college sports? Like, a contract extension means nothing if the school that wants you is willing to buy out the school that has you. And if he wins, I mean, I don't care if he wins a national championship or not, Mike. He would already be the top of a lot of people's list. You asked how he did it. You want to say it's just great donors and transfer portal? You might want to look at his resume, bud. You might want to go back and look at his resume because he doesn't lose much. Yeah, probably transfer portal stuff, all that goes into it. But he wasn't getting transfers at James Madison. He wasn't, you know, when he was at Elon Musk coaching in the Colonial Athletic Association. Everywhere he's gone, he wins. And yes, I'm sure there. But you say great donors at Indiana football. Seriously? Indiana has a history of great football donors? Great football support?
They probably have a lot in basketball.
Yeah, absolutely they do. They're famous. But football? They got money in football? Or did the money come once he got there? So I know everybody does it now, but to simplify it, to diminish it by just saying he got there because of transfer portal and great donors, well, they weren't doing it before. When he took over, they were 3-9, 4-8, 2-10, 6-2, 8-5. Tom Allen was the coach. Not good. No history of success. Maybe they stumbled upon some great donors, okay, but they also got a freaking amazing quarterback, too. Let's not forget. Probably going to go number one. Probably going to be a Las Vegas Raider next year in a great, great quarterback. In Fernando Mendoza. A battle of great quarterbacks, college quarterbacks tonight. Dante Moore for Oregon is good. And I like Dan Lanning as well. I'm a Dan Lanning fan. So both these coaches I'm, like, pumped about. Is Dante Moore going to go into the draft, though? I'm not sure. Well, Kenny Swami says, I said it was a combination of him, donors, and the transfer portal. They hit on all three. Yeah, but more him. Because if this was a different school that had a history of success, then I would tend to go there with you more. But they don't have a history of that. They don't have a history of rich donors for football, to my knowledge at least. Yes, Michael.
The last coach that Indiana had with a winning record was Bo McMillan, and he coached from 1934 to 1947.
I'm sorry, say that again.
The last coach that Indiana had with a winning record, so the coach's overall winning record, was Bo McMillan. And he coached from 1934 to 1947.
Insanity. Well, yeah, Texter just said here, too, Lee Corso. He was with him in the When was that, Mike? Was that 70s?
1973 to 1982, he was 41-68-2, 1-0 in bowls.
Yeah, just there's no history there. Basketball, yes.
That
football,
was a win
no.
over BYU in the Holiday Bowl.
It's a great, great story. Big Hub, if DeBoer has a bad year, best believe they're coming for Cignetti.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree. They will cut DeBoer. If he does, if he has four losses,
yeah.
I think he's in trouble.
Yes, I agree.
They expect wins there, but he is not the coach that they had before.
He said, Chris, would the Raiders throw same salary to Cignetti where he can stay with Mendoza? I don't know. It's not out of the world of possibility, and like the texter pointed out earlier, just signed a contract extension, but it doesn't matter. That all that does is help the school out if these guys want to go. I mean, it's only been 2 years at this level, though. So do you want to see more of it, or have you seen enough? If you were the Raiders, would you give him a call? Would you talk to his people? Regardless of what happens tonight. Because we're talking, Mike, this might be one of the greatest, I'm not going to say comeback stories, the greatest out of nowhere sports story ever. I mean, March Madness has a lot of really neat stuff that happens during the tournament, teams we've never heard of before. But as we've pointed out, to find success on the football field when you've never found it, that is a difficult, and to be the best. I think many would say today they're the best team in all of college football. You know, before we head into this game tonight, they're the best.
Yeah, there was that basketball team. It was like Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, Florida,
10 years
Florida
ago,
Gulf
something.
Coast or whatever.
They got to the Elite Eight or something. I don't know much about them since, but they had a couple good years and now nothing. Indiana is all the way at number one. Like they're in the top 25. Then they beat number two. Well, they slaughtered Illinois to get to number nine.
Yeah. And let's not forget, they beat Oregon earlier this year.
Yeah, and they beat Oregon to get to number two.
Mm-hmm.
And Oregon was number two at that time. Or they might, yeah, I think they were number two.
Well, and Mendoza outdueled Dante Moore in that game, too. If I remember, Moore was not very good in that game. And, I mean, Mendoza was okay, but it was a better game for him. This could be a great game. This could be... How do you think it's going to go down? Because both are elite defenses and both are elite offenses.
I think Indiana
wins. What wins? Both are elite offenses, both are elite defenses. What wins? Are we going to see high scoring? Or are we going to see like a freaking slugfest?
I think we're going to see somewhere in the mid-teens, low 20s.
It's like 21-17 or something like that?
Something like that. You might see a lot of field goals. You might see 23-16.
It was 30-20 last time these two played. Indiana won 30-20. And that was a pretty good game.
By the way, that was, I believe, in Eugene. It's tough to win in Eugene.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. How about Miami getting to host a... they'll be hosting the championship game. It'll be in Miami.
Well, I mean, wasn't it going to be there anyway?
Yeah, well, yeah, but that's, you know, always the dream. You talk about that when you hear where the Super Bowl's going to be and, you know, what that would look like. That's going to be fun. And how about Miami? Miami's a cool story, too. They didn't even play in their own conference championship game because it was a five-way tie, and they didn't look at any of the conventional things. They looked at opponent win percentage is what they went with. Opponent win percentage. And deemed that Duke deserves to be in the ACC championship and Virginia over Miami.
Who were Duke's opponents?
It's probably similar to Miami's opponents, I'm guessing.
I mean, did Duke play Notre Dame at the beginning of the season?
That I don't know. I don't have that in front of me.
I just thought it was weird when we were talking about it, right? Like, why is Miami? We're all bitching and moaning about Notre Dame and Miami, who's going to get in. Boy, the CFP committee's feeling vindicated right now, don't you think?
Yeah.
they got it right.
And Notre Dame, like, no, God, Notre Dame should have played in a bowl. They really should have. They shot them. They're shooting themselves in the foot multiple times.
It's dumb. Big Hub says, do you believe in the rematch curse? I always kind of look at, sometimes. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that.
When are picks?
It's today. I'm going to do all my NFL picks, too, for the wild card weekend ahead. I'm going to have Alex Taylor join me, follow up on Wyoming. Not necessarily about the X's and O's of the basketball team, but just about Sundance Wicks and what he means to that Wyoming community. Is that a basketball program that could grow? Because I know attendance has been tough. Is Sundance the kind of guy that can really build on that? So we'll get to that. Chris Dempsey's going to join me. The Nuggets keep winning games, even without Joker, even with a strange lineup. It's getting more whole as we go here, but they're finding ways. And we got about probably around 3 weeks until we can hope to see the Joker back in action. 31 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Michael's orange Bronco shirt today. Looks good. Collar's good. Straight. Not doing weird things.
My Friday shirt.
All good, man. It's Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. We'll be right back.
Friday, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on The Whole Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
All right, I keep telling you, you got to go to Big City Roadhouse. This is the hot spot in Greeley, and if you're listening to me out of Fort Collins, make the drive, because if you like Big City Burrito, the owners of Big City Burrito run Big City Roadhouse. So a legend of a restaurant, a legend of a burrito place in Fort Collins, and Big City Roadhouse has everything. They have burritos. They have steak. They have burgers. They have pizza. They have wings. They have changed. It used to be where Cables, it's the old Cables location. And they have changed it up in that bar area there. They've opened it up a little bit more, added monster TVs, like quadruple the size of Michael, plastered over the bar. They got the TVs over the, like, right behind the bar, and now they have monster ones up in the bar. And then they have other ones in the dining area that's to the east of the restaurant. They didn't used to have TVs there. So they have built this thing up. They're doing fun giveaways all the time. You guys got to check this place out. That's the best place to go to watch the game tonight. 5:30 kickoff. That's where you go watch this game tonight. I tell you what, you know what I'm doing, Mike? I've got, and you can go tonight and you can use this tonight if you want. It's Friday. We're feeling good on a Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. The UNC Bears are in action tomorrow night against Weber State. So here's what I've got. I got a pair of tickets to go see the Bears tomorrow night. And I've got a $25 gift certificate to Big City Roadhouse. What I want to do is I'm going to package these up. I'm a bundler. We're going to bundle it, Mike. And you can have a pair of tickets, and right before the game, which is at 6 o'clock tomorrow night, you can stop by Big City Roadhouse, or you can reserve it, whatever. So I'm giving both away right now, a pair of tickets to go see the Bears tomorrow night, along with a $25 gift certificate to Big City Roadhouse. And you could use that tonight if you want. Go catch the big game between Oregon and Indiana in the college football semifinals. Get your night started with a $25 gift certificate. Mike, do we just want to do a caller number? Is that what we want to do?
Let's do caller number 5.
Caller number 5? Wow, okay. Caller number 5. I don't know why you went there, but caller 5?
Caller five.
Caller number five, 970-353-1310. You got a pair of tickets to go see the Bears tonight, tomorrow night, and a $25 gift certificate to Big City Roadhouse. Be caller number five on our First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310. Call right now. Get the hookup here. 38 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Okay, Mike, how you feel about your quarterback now? This definitely pertains to you as we've been following this Damon Williams story. He is now thought better about it, and he is staying in Washington.
He's got to make up for he didn't know as much about that funeral, but he's got to kind of
He did apologize for that, and hey, that's a start. You know, here's an interesting thing. So, to my knowledge, this was an NIL contract. It was worth, what I see, around $4 million. So it was reported that if whoever the new school was that got him would owe Washington $4 million. And to my knowledge, according to Yahoo Sports, this was an NIL contract. So I'm still very confused. And I want to get into, you know, maybe some clarification on this confusion a bit. Now, Thursday, prior to Williams' announcement that he was going to return to Washington, his agent, Doug Hendrickson of Wasserman Football, dropped the quarterback as a client.
I would have too.
Why?
Because that's a stupid decision.
For him to go back?
No, for him to... Oh, not for him to go back.
This leads me to believe he dropped him because Williams was going back to Washington. This was prior to Williams' announcement. After all the backlash had been going on for the last half a week or so, I don't know this for sure. It just seems the timing of it seems odd. The agent dropped him. Doug Henderson dropped the quarterback as a client. Do you think he was pissed off that he did not enter the portal and go get more money elsewhere?
Kind of sounds that way.
Just throwing it out there. Soon after, Williams retained a lawyer, Darren Heitner, who is a veteran of NCAA eligibility cases. Williams and his camp spent the day discussing his options before coming to the conclusion he should return. Darren Heitner, I just found him on X, and he put together, you guys, if you have LinkedIn or you have X, find this guy, Darren Heitner. Two R's in Darren, H-E-I-T-N-E-R. This is interesting. This is just his first paragraph, and I want to read this to you. Earlier this week, Washington quarterback Damon Williams Jr. posted to Instagram that he intended to enter the transfer portal. It was a move that shocked many, coming just days after he had reportedly signed a multi-million dollar revenue sharing agreement to return to the Huskies for the 2026 season. By Thursday afternoon, with the portal closing and rosters rapidly filling across the country, I was retained. By that evening of January 8, just in time for the kickoff of the Ole Miss-Miami game, a resolution was reached and peace prevailed. He said, it may appear that nothing happened, but in reality, everything happened. So he points out the situation last year, the Wisconsin story, Xavier Lucas. He said, it reminded me of last year's Xavier Lucas matter at Wisconsin. The parallels were striking. You had a talented player, a revenue-sharing contract, a school refusing to enter the athlete into the portal, a ticking clock, and immense pressure on all sides. And just like with Lucas, the outcome here required something that is often forgotten in the NIL space. Lawyers and service providers who understand that being adversarial is not always the answer. So what he went into in this article, and I have not read the whole thing. It's very long. I'm saving this, though, because I'm reading it tonight. Let me sum some of the beginning up. He basically said, yes, we could have fought this. We could have maybe got out of this. But for all parties involved, what would this do for the player? What would this do for the school?
It would make him look bad because he has a reputation of being kind of classy.
Yeah, and so this was more of a, hey, you can fight this. You might win, but at what cost? You're going to get $4 million, at least, right? I thought this was just really interesting. He even writes, under different circumstances, with more time, these questions could and likely be tested in court, the legality of the transfer restrictions, this contract in question. He says, all of it's ripe for litigation, but that analysis, while intellectually stimulating, wasn't what was in DeMond's best interest in this particular moment. It's hard to trust lawyers, right? Is this refreshing? Is this just me? I'm reading this and I'm going, wow. A lawyer that's retained doesn't just say, hey, how do we get more money off all this? He says, what's in the best interest for you? And the best interest was to stay put and not go to battle while you're stuck and all these other schools are going out getting players and you're stuck. You're not going to go anywhere. You can fight it. You might win. But it's not going to work out in the long run. I've reached out to this lawyer to try to see if we could get him on the show. I doubt he will. But it's fascinating. Sorry, Mike. We don't have time. Producer. Lonster's calling. I love you, Lonster. We don't have time. He said, Chris, aha, that's another reason why there needs to be responsible oversight on college athletics. Fly-by agents are going to be moving in. Oh, yeah. But this doesn't seem to be one of those examples. 49 minutes after the hour. I'll get more on that. We've got Alex Taylor joining me from YO News. I want to talk about Sundance Wicks. I talked to him yesterday. I interviewed Sundance Wicks yesterday, but I want to get it from a reporter's perspective of what a guy like him can mean for the future of Wyoming. Because I think he's that powerful of a coach. So I want to talk to him a little bit later on. We got Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV. We'll talk some Denver Nuggets. CSU and UNLV go at it tonight. I believe it's their state pride night. So a big game for them. They need to win. They need to get in the win column here. It's a Friday night game. Why is it Friday night? Because it's on CBS Sports at 8 o'clock tonight. There's my Friday plans after the semifinal game. It's the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA.
For Avalanche games and talk, keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Ah, thank you. Faith and Go Pokes at the same time. They are battling for a producer job here. Both sent me the story at the same time. Trinidad Chambliss denied waiver. The NCAA has denied Trinidad Chambliss a sixth year of eligibility, which would end his college football career. The decision comes after a verbal denial in December. Ole Miss can still appeal the decision. Wow. That's crazy. I don't have the details. Where did he go? Where did he go to school before he went to Ole Miss? He was somewhere before Ole Miss, wasn't he? Where was he before Ole Miss? He was. Where was this place? He played D2 and then he played somewhere in 2024. I don't really register any numbers there. It's a non-clickable team. Ferris State, Ferris Bueller's Day Off State, Ferris State. Wow, Go Pokes and Faith are like. Who, Michael, who's the stronger hooligan right now? Who's the stronger Hall of Famer right now? Is it Go Pokes or Faith? Because they bring the freaking
Faith,
noise.
Faith is nice to me.
Go Pokes is kind of nice. I mean, he makes fun of you quite a bit, but
yeah,
it's
but
all
Faith,
in good fun.
Faith is really nice.
I think Go Pokes is nice.
Which one wants to drop off lasagna?
Why does it always have to? Are you Garfield or something? Like, take
I
care of yourself.
Garfield.
Make your own damn lasagna. You are Garfield. You just lie around. You sleep all day. You complain about your bad sleep. Now Big Hub's saying me. I'm the stronger Hall of Famer. Eastside Chris is probably going to battle for that. These are like the Hall of Famers, man. Like, die hard. Go at it. They bring it every day. Those are your Hall of Famers. To be a hooligan, it's easy. You just listen. You just listen. A Hall of Famer brings the noise, man.
And the lasagna.
No. No lasagna, I mean, Garfield. No. Butter. Stop it. You're not Garfield. You're a human boy, okay? 11:57. Top story. Oh, Alex Taylor is the top story of the day. Coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.